Hello, this is Tiara.
Hello, this is Allie.
And this is the Goddess Vibration Podcast. Welcome back to another episode, you guys. I'm so excited for this episode because we have yet another guest. And this one is going to be really, really fun because we are actually going to dive into the dream space. And I'm so excited about this because, you know, in other episodes, me and Allie have talked about dreams and what they mean and how they can be symbolic. But we have yet to really talk to someone who knows how to deconstruct the dreams and extract the lessons and the meaning and make it applicable to your lives until today. So with that, I would love to introduce Athena Laz. She's a psychologist and author of the book, The Alchemy of Your Dreams, A Modern Guide to the Ancient Art of Lucid Dreaming and Interpretation. And I did read a little bit of the book because I was just so, so curious. And Athena, I want to say that your writing is so beautifully eloquent. And, you know, some of the stuff that I read about and picked up on, it all resonated and it all made sense. You know, especially when you talk about like how dreams are a message and how they're meant to be applicable in your life, and they can be. So I was wondering if you can share a little bit more about what inspired you to write this book.
Well, firstly, thank you so much for your kind words about the book. It's always nice to hear feedback. I was really inspired to write about dreams and really the connection that we all have to both our psyche and the unseen, because my own dreams have always been so meaningful and powerful. When I was younger, I had a lot of dreams that offered me guidance and it really helped me. And so I learned from a very young age to pay attention to dreams, not just as these things that kind of happen to us, but really as something much more profound. And so when I sort of became qualified and I had a practice for a very long time, and I thought, someone said to me, you know, what is it? What would you want to share with people if you only had a short amount of time to live? Like, what would you want people to know? And that's kind of how the idea for the book came about. And also at the time, I wanted to talk about intuition, which comes through in The Alchemy of Your Dreams, because it's all connected. So that was really what I felt called to speak about and to write about. So that's kind of just like a brief look into why I wrote what I wrote.
That is truly fascinating. I have also been dreaming, like lucid dreaming, since I was little. And to this day, even in my adulthood, I can still remember some of those dreams, which is so wild to me. And I was wondering if you could give some insight. Like, most people forget their dreams immediately unless they remember to journal them. So is there any significance to those people who can still remember those very profound and significant dreams, even from a young age? Can I pick your brain on that?
Sure. Well, firstly, I think that is so amazing. And I think that, you know, you've had active lucid dream experiences. And a lucid dream experience is so vivid and it's so extremely real. And it's very hard to forget that, because it's like saying, well, in waking life, you could just forget kind of this pivotal experience that you have in waking life. And even though that can happen to us over the years, it's almost the same thing I find with dreaming. When you have very, very impactful lucid dreams specifically, they do tend to stick with you. I also find that sometimes for people who really struggle to remember their dreams, and for, you know, people whoever's listening, if they've never had a lucid dream, it's really a matter of just reconnecting with that aspect of yourself and then honoring the process. And so if someone's dream recall is really not at a great place, one of the simplest things people can do is simply set an intention before they go to bed that they will remember their dreams on waking. And then there's a very practical tip that I like to share, and that is that when we wake up, our memory gets stored into our dream memory gets stored into long-term memory. And if you physically move, so you know the instinct is to get up and physically move kind of on waking, that can interrupt how you retain the memory of your dream. So if you're someone who struggles to remember, it's really helpful that, like, on waking, just to really lie very still, and if you can, close your eyes and replay the dream or whatever you can remember from the dream, like a person, a symbol, a feeling, whatever it is, just try and replay it in your mind for about 30 seconds, and that usually shifts it into long-term memory, which helps.
That is so fascinating.
It really is. And, you know, I've had that problem where I've struggled a lot with retention when it comes to dreams. And, you know, Athena, I'm not sure. I was wondering if you could share a little bit about this. I know that for some people, there's this phenomenon where, like, they have dreams. They know that there's a dream, but they don't remember specifically the impact or, like, the symbology in the dream. Would you say that for many people, dreams are symbolic in nature? Like, it just seems like many people who, you know, have dreams, oftentimes the message is rooted in symbolism. So it really comes down to being able to interpret that. But would you say that that's accurate, or is there more to it than that?
I think that is a very accurate statement. And then at the same time, there's definitely more to it than that, right? I like to think about it in this way. So, you know, in waking life, we can reach much deeper states of awareness, and we can do that through multiple practices, right? So a good example of this is just thinking about a meditation. So if you sit still and you sit in meditation, you might also see imagery, you might hear sounds, and then if you really get to a still enough space, you can have higher and altered states of consciousness, what we call that, happen to you, right? So you go from almost a imagery, a symbolic realm, into a realm that feels heightened in awareness. And so in waking life, that happens, and we a lot of us are familiar with that experience. And for me, in dreaming, it's actually kind of the same thing. I feel like every single dream actually has meaning to it, even if it's to tell us that we are spending way too much time watching TV or we're filling our mind with junk, right? So even a symbolic dream that comes up like that, that's helpful because it's telling us something about our own well-being, and it tells it to us in a story, in symbols, in the way we interact in the dream. You know, say we're being chased by someone and it's a figure that's really frightening, but just before you fell asleep, maybe you watched Criminal Minds, right? So all of a sudden you're having these dreams that kind of they mirror the feeling state and the frequency that you're falling asleep and going, you know, you're going to bed and falling asleep and then dreaming. But then at the same time, we have access to higher realms of consciousness, non-physical interaction when we sleep. For example, I'm a firm believer that we can meet say deceased loved ones in the dreaming space, and that's something that actually often happens naturally for people. And you know, depending on what a person's belief system is, they might wake up in the morning and say, oh, that was such a nice dream, maybe it's how I'm processing grief. And for other people, they'll receive information and they'll know, oh, actually this is just something that goes beyond our ordinary thinking.
Can I go back to what you said about how every single dream has a meaning? Because I've had dreams that were just like a hodgepodge of nonsense where it was just like all this stuff was going on and like nothing really made sense. And I was just doing things that like weren't really rational. And I've always like wondered like, okay, I know that dreams are symbolic for the most part, but like when it's just incoherence, is there still a message there to be extracted?
I think we can look at it as a meta kind of message, right? And I totally hear you on this. Sometimes dreams are bizarre and they're super strange and you find yourself in these really weird situations, right? So it's kind of twofold for me. The first I would say is that when that kind of happens, I would definitely wake up and look at how I was emotionally processing the events that were happening in my life. And I would also pay attention to what I was consuming in terms of where my attention was placed, right? So my experience of it with working with lots of people in this arena is that those dreams tend to happen either when a person is very, very stressed, and sometimes that comes through in nonsensical dreams, bizarre dreams, dreams that just feel very uncomfortable. And then another thing that it can be, and something that the more I do lucid dream work, I realize that this really might be something. When we find ourselves in dreams that are bizarre, we have such a wonderful opportunity to recognize that we are dreaming in the dream, right? Because when you're having bizarre, you know, you can feel that, like it's so strange. All of a sudden you're in a bus and then say you're on a plane or whatever the situation is. And so those kind of dreams to me, even though they may not be meaningful in like, okay, here's the dream message, right? Like, do this tomorrow at work. No, not that way inclined, but in another way, they are so helpful because they're pointing you to something much bigger.
That is so fascinating.
It absolutely is. I realize, I was saying that I realize a lot, like when I'm dreaming, I become conscious. Like, I know I'm conscious in the dream. Like, sometimes I will be in a situation and my conscious mind will just say, this isn't real. That's usually like my go-to phrase when I know like I'm in the dream world. I'll just be like, okay, this isn't real. And then sometimes I'll completely wake up, or other times I will just turn it into pure creation. And I've been exploring turning it into pure creation. And I got to tell you, it is like a whole nother level of mysticism and just exploration. And it's really mind blowing. And sometimes I can make sense of it. And other times I just can't.
I feel like it sounds amazing. And isn't that amazing that that's actually available to all of us almost every single night if we wanted to pursue that? I feel like it's so helpful to have triggers that can show you that you learn your own triggers, right? Like you're saying, that's not real. I'm recognizing this isn't real, and that evokes lucidity. I was speaking to one of my neighbors and I was telling her, you know, we've known each other for a while now and she knows about what I do. And she was saying she realized that whenever she's in a dream and she's always somewhere where she's like having to look for something, she's looking for her car keys, she's looking for a ticket, she's looking for money. And she's not in her waking life. That isn't really a parallel that actually happens. So it's quite out of the norm for her. And that really is a marker now that triggers lucidity for her, because we had the conversation about it. And in that space, if you become lucid and you can remain in the dreaming, it is really open to deep exploration. And what I love about it is that, you know, people, whoever's listening to this, you don't have to take our experiences, you know, as everything. You can actually do this for yourself. And it's really easy to do if you just apply a bit of attention to it.
That's amazing that you say that, because I've met so many people who are so fascinated by dreams, but so many people struggle with A, remembering them, B, they don't think that they ever lucid dream. Like, they're just like, when I pass out, everything's black and then I wake up. Like, so many people don't recall their dreams. They don't think they are able to dream. They don't think they can dream. And I actually have a friend who taught himself how to become a lucid dreamer. Now, I just have always done it naturally. But when listening like to his story and getting to know him, and he was just like, no, I just put a lot of mind and practice and intention in it. And I taught myself how to do it because he just loves the lucid space in dreams. And I was just like, I didn't even know people could teach themselves. Like, tell me more. And like, we really bonded over that experience.
It's so amazing. I run a program called the Dream Weave, and I teach people how to do that. And I also, in the book, I share really easy practices. I think it's like chapter 6 or 7. I can't remember offhand, but literally if someone was just to read that chapter and only apply that information and actually actively do it, most people will have a lucid dream experience. I think sometimes there's also something, whilst you're talking about dream recall, you know, people saying that they go to sleep and then they wake up and it's like nothing has happened in that time. I think with modern living, and I really hear this from people all over the world, right? With modern living, we're facing a lot more stresses than I think we ever have had before. Well, maybe not ever, but you get what I'm trying to say. We're living in quite a stressful time. And I think sometimes for people who forget their dreams, it's just that they can be so fatigued that sleep is the priority as opposed to remembering dreams. If it's something that happens, you know, it's been something that's been going on for years and years, I would say to that person, sit down one afternoon or evening or whenever you're free and just think about the last dream that you had and then write it down. Get a book just for dreaming. It's not for anything else. Open it up and write the dream down to the best of your capacity. And that is usually enough of a process to relink the dreaming. Well, it's actually not the dreaming mind. It's the psyche is almost like given permission to become. It's almost like you're saying to your own psyche, I'm listening. I'm ready to listen. And okay, take me on a journey. And the minute you do that and you're not too sort of controlling about the process, like if it doesn't happen one night, you trust that maybe it will come up in the next couple of weeks, it tends to come up. I feel like our dreaming mind isn't a mind, it's the non-physical part of us, it's the bigger part of us, and we categorize it into a space of almost thinking. And for me, it isn't a thinking, it's the non-physical larger part of us that I believe that when we die, that's what we are. And so every night we have the opportunity to really become well acquainted with that part of ourselves, and dreams show us that. So it's really interesting.
It is really interesting. So my question is if it's, so dreaming is just another aspect of the psyche. It's just another aspect within ourselves.
It's both, right? It's both. So it's, in my opinion, it's both. We dream with our psyche and we dream with the non-physical part of us. Very much how we do the same thing, not in dreaming, but in our waking lives, right? So we would say, if you're spiritually inclined, that your soul goes with you wherever you go during your waking day, right? So it's not like you're saying, well, my soul isn't here when I'm not paying attention to it. And so for me, dreaming is kind of the same thing, where just because you're not paying attention to that realm of consciousness or awareness doesn't mean it ceases to exist. It doesn't mean that it's just a mind process either. Well, at least that's what I believe in, and that's kind of what I write about. And I share a lot of stories in the book from people who, from scientists to professors to all sorts of people who share their non-physical experiences in dreaming.
So Athena, in some of, you know, the work that you've been doing over these past couple of years, do you see like a specific trend or common themes in people's dreams that sort of are coming up over and over and over again?
there definitely are common themes that pop up, and they're usually collective symbols, and they kind of have a lot of weight to them. So symbols like a mother, or falling, being chased, teeth, that's a really big one. I often hear about that. There definitely are collective symbols that we tend to gravitate towards as a collective, I feel. But at the same time, if I say run one of my year programs and have my participants come in, it's not, you know, that's a small group of people, a relatively small group of people in comparison to the rest of, say, the population, where they will maybe have two or three similar dreams, or we might have one year where no one dreams anything alike. So there's definitely is something to larger themes, but then at the same time, it really depends on what kind of dream work the person is doing. So for example, I'm just trying to think of a tangible thing. I wrote a dream article on frogs for the Today Show, and we do common collective themes that people write in about, and they say, you know, I've been dreaming about my teeth falling out, or being chased, or fire. And a lot of people wrote in and said they'd been dreaming of frogs, and it was such an interesting symbol to me. And then literally like a week later, someone messaged me on Instagram to say, oh, I dreamt all these frogs were jumping on top of me, and I got such a fright that I rolled out of bed and woke up. What do you think it means? You know? Mm. And so it really, I always say that those kind of dreams, the person has to go, well, why am I having this dream in this way right now? You know, why wasn't I having a frog dream 2 years ago? What is it about my life right now in this moment that is kind of evoking that imagery?
Very interesting. Did you happen to or determine, like, because I've never personally dreamt about frogs, but I've heard of people dreaming about animals. Like I had a my sister had a dream where she dreamt of her deceased cat. And it was like, there was a bunch of the same cat. It was just like, there was a bunch of her. The cat's name was Lily. So there was a bunch of lilies in her dream. So I'm curious to know, like, were you able to determine a specific meaning for the multiple frogs, the multiple animals?
I love the question, and that's so cute that she would dream of lots of lilies. For the person who reached out to me on Instagram, they were in a work situation that was about to kind of, it was like make or break. And frogs in ancient culture are often associated with wealth. Even in fairy tales, we see how frogs, you know, that you have to kiss, the princess has to kiss a frog for him to turn out to be a prince. And we kind of have, we all, in my opinion, have ancient memories stored within us. When it comes to multiplicity, I think it's really about paying attention to the symbol. So like, if one frog cannot get your attention, maybe 100 will, or maybe 5 lilies will get your attention as opposed to one, you know. So for me, I would say it's an intensity of something as opposed to it you know, I don't know, being something else. But again, it can mean something else if a person, say, in like deep analysis, but I would say in a generally speaking, that's how I would take what I would make it to mean.
You know, that's interesting, because you see something like that with numerology, where people might see like 11, and then they'll see 11-11, and then they'll see 1-1-1-1-1. Right. And the way that generally that's interpreted is that it's like a magnification of, you know, one, or of 11, like it's being intensified in some way. So it's just interesting to see the parallels there.
It's super interesting. It's actually such a great example of it. In this book that I'm writing now, that's coming out next year, I write about how, well, I was thinking about how we so often want to say, like, receive signs from the universe. A lot of people, you know, they ascribe meaning, like, oh, I'm seeing 11, there's a meaning, there's something bigger than what I'm just witnessing, right? I'm having a dream of a frog, there's this means something. And the minute you step into a relationship with the world, with yourself, with the universe, where you're like, okay, it's not one dimensional, it's multifaceted, we are multidimensional beings, this is a language that we can tap into, and it's a bi-directional language that non-physical essence uses to communicate with us, and then it's up to us to really decode it and understand it. I feel like what happens is the more in my own life, and I'll speak for myself here, the more I show up and willingly choose to listen, let's just say to spirit, like sitting down in the morning and waking up first thing and like 8 to 8:30, just doing a practice where I'm just listening. I'm not asking for advice, I'm not setting intentions, I'm not doing anything other than being open to receiving. The synchronicities still happen, the multiplication of them sometimes will happen, but I found that that becomes less necessary, because it's like that part of what we're interacting with is like, oh wait, she's listening now. We don't have to do these big, bold messages to really get her to pay attention. Like, she's paying attention. Great. Okay. It's almost like I always say to people, I do a section of like getting to know your guides through dream work in my dream weave. And a lot of the time people will say to me, you know, how do I know this is real? And actually, it's so funny that your sister's cat's name was Lily, because one of the examples that I share, and it's a real story, is that I had a participant come and we did a workshop, and this was years and years ago, and she was really struggling to recall her dream. She didn't have like intense experiences like a lot of the other people were having, and she was feeling like a bit disappointed, which I totally get, because it can feel so disappointing. Anyway, she had a dream the one night, and she dreamt of a lily, and then she woke up and didn't think about it. But we had like actively done a workshop literally two nights before about, okay, I'm ready to meet my guide. I'm opening myself up to this relationship. I am like, I'm ready. I'm here. Okay. And so that's what we incubated, and she didn't receive any information. And then she had a dream about a lily, and because I make people write down whatever they remember, so she wrote down, okay, dreamt of a lily. And then she literally, with the workshop finished, she went home, everybody left the retreat. And like a week later, she randomly got a bunch of lilies. Then the next day, she was at a coffee shop, and the waitress's name was Lily. It was like all these synchronicities. I actually get goosebumps whilst I'm talking about it. It was like literally all these synchronicities back to back. And I was like, that's how. That's because there's a, you know, if you're kind of like a very, just like, it's not even a very thing. If you're just beginning or something very new, it can be hard to accept that first communication, like an image of a lily, is correct, and not correct, but I mean, is real communication.
Yeah.
And so sometimes it just really takes like multiplicity, like over and over and over again, for people to say, okay, wait, there's something bigger here. Something is happening.
It's interesting that you say that, because when I initially had my awakening, I was seeing 11. And I was seeing it in like such weird places, like not just on billboards and, you know, on my phone or on, you know, TV, but I would see it like someone spray painted graffiti on a fence and it was 11, or like on the road, someone wrote 11, you know, on the ground, on the sidewalk, just in these random places. And it didn't really click for me until I saw 11 on someone's car license plates. It was the rear license plate, and it was spelled out in letters 11, almost like this, the universe was trying to amplify the message. And they're like, okay, well, she's not getting the numbers, let's put it in letters. And then eventually it clicked, and I was like, oh, they're trying to get my attention. It only took like 6 months of that for them to actually get my attention. But yeah, it's just so interesting.
Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. I was going to say 6 months, it's better than never getting it. You know what I mean?
That's true. That's very true. Yes, absolutely.
The universe works in very mysterious ways. And I would love to kind of shift gears here for a second and pick your brain about astral traveling.
Sure.
is astral traveling similar to lucid dreaming? Because I don't know if it's like the same space we go in the subconscious or in the psyche, but some people just say like, I'm able to astral travel, but lucid dreaming's really not, it's like harder. But I feel like there's a lot of parallels between the two. So I would just love some insight on that.
Sure. I think you're really right. There are a lot of parallels. I think we all actually naturally go out of body every night, whether we remember that or not. So for me, lucid dreaming, the fundamental difference I would say is that it's a very inner world experience. So not to say that you can't have incredibly like mystical, I don't even want to use that word, but incredibly awe-inspiring experiences in this space. So for example, in a lucid dream, right, if you get to a level of being able to control the lucid dream space, where say you find yourself in a dream and you recognize, okay, I'm dreaming, you can clear out the dreamscape. And I shared tips on how to do this in the book. So for anyone listening, there's like a method to it, right? So you just clear out the landscape, and then say if you wanted to review a memory of something that happened when you were 4 years old, you could ask for that to appear. And it is very likely that it would. And if not, that dreamscape might show you information that's even more helpful. And at all times, you're able, well, you can learn to be able to control, not control, but to interact with the environment in quite an elegant way. With astral traveling, it takes a step further in that we are not just interacting, say, with our own inner worlds or, say, with like a non-physical guide, but you could physically, you're non-physically traveling to a non-physical location, and two people can share the experience. So we could meet up at a specific, or you could go to, let's just say, we're meeting past a certain place, and you go past and I go past, and we can experience that place and then come back and review it and share the information. And that information should have parallels. Like if I was going to say to you, let's go to Brooklyn Bridge and we're going to stand at this place and look up at it, and then we're going to share what we saw, we should then be able to share what we see together, and there should be parallels, right? But it's definitely a place of exploration, and lucid dreaming can use lucid dreaming as a jumping point into astral travel, so, or out of body, whatever you want to call it. So you just, they're just practices that you can learn to do.
So when you're talking about like meeting someone, is that dream sharing? Is that a thing, like where two people can agree to meet in the dream space at a specific location? Because I've heard of phenomenons like that, people sharing their stories of, yes, I intentionally said that I'm going to meet this person at this location, and then it just so happened to happen. And then they'd wake up and they both remember it, and then they would have a conversation on it. And I've always have found the dream space to be so enthralling and phenomenal and fascinating and curiosity. And I love that we are able to have this conversation with you, because it's mind blowing.
I was saying, you know, it's been a great conversation. It's been great speaking to both of you, because I feel like what I love about these kind of conversations is that they open up more questions, you know. So for someone listening who's hearing like, oh, wait, is that actually a possibility? Like, could my sister and I choose to meet up in a dream? Could that actually happen? My thing is, try it out and see it for yourself. That is what's so amazing about this avenue of discovery, is that you really just have to put your attention towards it and it opens up. I really feel like, you know, in so many ancient cultures, actually almost all of them, dreams are not just dreams. They're gateways into higher states of consciousness. And we have lots of different words for what that means, you know, but at the end of the day, to me, it's really just non-physical exploration and remembering that we are a greater awareness than the thinking mind.
That's just absolutely amazing. Something else that I often dream of is, me personally, I find a lot of portals in my dreams.
That's like, cool.
Yeah, and I share them with Tiara, and I'm just like, I don't know what happened, but it's like I find these portals. Like, for an example, on the Lionsgate portal the night of August 8th, I found like this book, but it was very photo album. It was represented as a photo album, but this photo album was very like special. It had like a very magnetic pull, and it had like an electricity, and like it had these random pictures, and I put like my hand on the photo album, and my hand could go through that specific picture that I was looking at. I think it was like a beach, and it kind of reminded me of Hawaii. And so I put my hand in, and I realized, like, this is a portal. I could actually physically put my body into this portal and be transported to this place. And I just dove right in. And then the next thing I knew, I was, like, on this beautiful island and looking around. And I'm just like, what did I just discover? What just happened?
It's so amazing. I love hearing stories like this. I think that that is the practice. And it can happen very spontaneously. And then it can also be something that you can learn to try and intentionally do, deliberately do. So it's really, I just think, quite wonderful, actually, when you have dreams like that. Because I don't know about you, but I always feel like I wake up and I'm like, oh, wait, that's such a good reminder. It's such a good reminder of perspective, you know.
And I often dream about finding random portals. I don't know why. I don't know how. Like, I have found random portals to ancient civilizations, to like lost golden cities. And it's just like my dreams are just so profound and fascinating. And it's like, I don't even know what to do with all this information or what any of it means. But it's just, I love dreaming. I look forward to sleeping at night because I just have no idea where I'm going to go next.
Isn't that fun?
You know, my sister said the same thing. She's a dreamer. She's a heavy dreamer. The one with, you know, the cat Lily who passed. And she's been dreaming for years. And she speaks of what Allie just described, where she's had dreams where she's discovered a portal and gone to some other magnificent realm. And she's always like, you know, I have these dreams and I don't really know what they mean and I don't really know what to do with it. And I think that after, you know, speaking to you, I'm going to gift her your book because I think she needs it so, so bad. And because she's such a profound dreamer, and I just feel like there's so much she could probably be extracting from some of these experiences that she's having if she had guidance on it. And so, you know, I think that she would see a lot of value in your book.
Thank you. That's so kind of you. I feel like that's such a, it also brings up something that's really meaningful for me. I think so many of us are not taught, it's generally not something we're taught, like what to do with our dreams, right? Like if I think about my own childhood and I speak for myself here, like I had a very sort of open-minded family and my parents listened to my dreams, but that's probably about as much, you know, as far as it went. So I really feel like being able to have someone who can guide you in a process can be really, really helpful. I really hope that that's kind of one of my really big dreams. I wish that we would change as a society, not even change, but just remember in a way the importance of dreaming and teach that to our children. There are a lot of cultures nowadays that have retained that necessity where they really teach their children, like, you're interacting with unseen worlds when you sleep and dream. It is a sacred space. It is a space available to all of us. It's also a space that can challenge you and will challenge you. And it is a space that's worth listening to. And I think that, you know, for anyone who's maybe not had that guidance or being just not particularly interested in it, whatever it is, what I love about it is that at any point you can really rekindle the relationship to that way of being and that way of living. And so, I don't know, I just guess it's something that I hope happens.
Oh, I was going to ask Athena, like, what would you say are some of the benefits of encouraging kids to talk about their dreams and remember their dreams? Like, how would that help their growth? And I'm assuming it keeps them more connected to the spiritual.
It definitely keeps them more connected to the spiritual. And even say if, you know, say someone's listening to this and they're not spiritual, they don't want to teach that or connect with their kids in that way, and that's totally, you know, a preference. I can respect that. I would say it's still helpful to teach your children about dreams, because dreams also teach us about our own emotional interior worlds, and they also teach us a lot about the psychology of our own personalities. And so if we learn to begin to pay attention to what is happening just from a psychological perspective, it's super, super helpful. You know, from sort of the psychology look of it, is that when we dream, we're interacting with our unconscious. Some people use the word subconscious, you know, whatever. We don't have to get stuck in labels right now. But even just that, teaching a child, well, okay, when you're dreaming, you might be, you know, if you're on a playground and you've had a hard day at school and then you go to sleep and you dream that you're being chased, there's something about recognizing how you feel and the link to it. And I think teaching children how to understand their own feelings, how to understand their own fears, and also how to understand with the imagery that happens every single night, whether we want to experience that or not, we all dream every single night. And that's scientifically proven, you know. So I think it can also just give them language to voice what they're experiencing. A lot of parents that I speak to now who kind of find my book, and they'll have kids who might experience, like, they'll say the bed is shaking at night. They get the feeling like they're falling back into the bed. Sometimes that's actually like telltale signs of having had an OBE, right? You're astral traveling, and then when you're coming back into your body, that it can feel like that. Or when you're exiting, when you're going from waking into sleep into dreaming. So I think just understanding that information can be very empowering for parents, because they can speak to their children about it.
I think that that is so empowering. And I will say that, especially as we are children, I would say that a lot of emotions get repressed, right? And I know that, like, when we're children, we are much more connected to source, even though, mm-hmm. like, as children, we don't consciously know that. As we become an adult, and as we're, like, our minds are developing, and we're kind of navigating through emotions and really kind of figuring out, like, you know, how we feel about certain things and how to express certain things. I have found, as a person who repressed a lot of their feelings, that a lot of my healing actually came through dreams. And I don't really know if people can correlate that. Dreams really do talk to you, and they are really symbolic. And in many ways, they can be a very healing experience. And so I love how you brought that up, just about really, like, training the mind to remember dreams because of the messages and because of the fact that it can be a very healing experience.
It absolutely can be a very healing experience. I totally resonate with what you're saying. And I think for anyone who's ever had the experience of repressing a feeling or being in an environment where you maybe can't say what you want to say or how you feel, that energy, in a way, that experience has to go somewhere, right? And
absolutely.
So It does. It really does. And I think that what the dreaming mind does, whether we remember or not, is that it actually helps us to find balance again, because it looks at what we find often in waking life difficult to look at, and it examines it for us. And I think that's where the psychology of dreaming is unbelievable and incredibly healing. There was a man who did lots of research on, worked with a lot of people who had experienced trauma, and they were from a range of backgrounds. Like, there were veterans, and there were people who had lived through wars, and then just people who had just had sort of bad traumatic experiences. And he found that almost all of them experienced a tidal wave dream, where they had experience of, and often it was repetitive, of being in a space and a tidal wave would come, and it would just like really be this obliterating experience. That's, I say this also, if someone's listening, it doesn't mean that if you have a tidal wave dream, that you have repressed trauma. It's just interesting that this experience of being flooded by something, right? So, like, when you're flooded by an emotion, or an experience is so traumatic, or it is just too big to like contain and to know what to do with, that part of us, the psyche, shows us balance by being a mouthpiece for the feelings that often, and the emotions that often link to that. So, like, oh, I was in a traumatic experience that's really flooding. I felt totally powerless. I felt really helpless. And then the minute you can say, oh, okay, wait, I have given words to something that was really hard to give words to voice and to say, you've taken a lot of the power away from the event, and that is, it's really a good start to healing.
It absolutely is. I have had dreams where like I've taken my power back from people. Like
That's amazing.
things that I've just have repressed since I was little. And if I got to face those people again, like as an adult in the dream space, I have taken back my power. And it's been such an amazing experience for me. Like people that, I probably wouldn't see in the physical, and to be able to use the dream space to do that is just
Yeah.
it's empowering. And I, like I said, this conversation has completely widened my curiosity in the dream space. And I love what you do.
Thank you.
So, Athena, I wanted to ask you this, in regards to the dreams. We're talking about how, for the most part, you can extract some type of value from dreams. Would you say that that also applies when it comes to people that have like repeating nightmares or even night terrors?
I would say even more reason to pay attention, because a repetitive nightmare is something that your psyche is really trying to get your attention about. And your psyche doesn't want to harm you. It's not actually there, in my opinion, to harm you. It's there to, re it is a self-regulating system, and it knows what to do intrinsically to heal. And so if you're having a repetitive nightmare, it's a repetitive experience slash feeling space slash unhealed memory, or whatever it is that is requiring that, like, that you look at it. So I can give you an example. When I was younger, I used to have this repetitive nightmare where I would find myself in a very big field, and it was more like a park field, but very specific to a certain space. And I would run and run and run and run, and my brother would always sort of just like appear, and I would land up in this room, and I would have to walk into the room, and it was really dark, and it would always have like a bathtub full of very dark water, and I would wake up. And it doesn't sound particularly frightening to me now, like as an adult, like I'm like, okay, that's not the scariest dream. But as a kid, it really, really freaked me out. And I was something like 24, and I had that dream after not having it for years and years and years. And I was like, you know what? This is something where I really have to pay attention. I was like, I'm in murky space. I'm in a space that I don't feel safe in. I'm in a space that doesn't feel good, and I have to address why that is. And it wasn't a physical safety thing. It wasn't even like a relationship thing. It was just this interior space. And so I feel like anytime you have a nightmare, just try and think of it actually as a friend. It's a friend with a scary face that's trying to tell you something, and a very, very helpful practice to do, right? Because most people who have nightmares will wake up and go, oh, that was so shit. I don't want to do anything with it. I just want to like forget about it, right? So you're just trying to repress it even more. So what's really, really helpful is to just when you feel calm and settled, to sit quietly and close your eyes and try and replay the nightmare in your mind and let whatever feelings come up, come up. You know, as adults, we can open our eyes, we can shake it off. It's not actively happening. And you try and complete the story. So say in that dream, I would find myself in that room, open the door, see the water. And in my waking vision, I would look at the water and I would clear it out. Or if I was brave enough, I would stick my hand into the bathtub, pull out the plug, let that water go all the way down. And I would walk outside and it would be daytime and it would be light and it would be bright. And I would walk back the way I came running. And there's something about actively visioning it in a different way that is very soothing, and it's also very telling, because it's like the minute, you know, if you decide to heal, it's almost like you go, okay, I'm ready to do something different this time. And that's like one of the biggest steps that you can take in the healing process, is to go like, okay, I'm doing something, as opposed to I'm feeling helpless about this thing that I think has power over me.
Wow. I wish I would have known that as a child, because I know, yeah, as children, like, you know, we often have these nightmares and they just terrify us and they scare us and it doesn't make sense to us. And then, you know, oftentimes we grow up and we remember these nightmares, but even as an adult, it's still hard to make sense of them. So, you know, I love that you, you know, shared that, because I'm sure there are many listeners who will probably find some value in that if they're struggling with repeating nightmares. So thank you for that.
Sure.
So I think I want to ask you one more question before we close out. Do you have, I mean, the dream you mentioned is very impactful, but I'm wondering if there's any specific dream that has like impacted you the most, or that has had the most profound effect on your life after reflecting with it and looking for that deeper meaning.
I think it is hard for me to pinpoint one dream, but I one of the dreams I guess I will never forget, and I do share this in the book. So if it's repetitive, sorry, but it's literally, I would think I was in my 20s at I was I would not think I was in my 20s at the time, and I was going through a period in my life where I was like, I didn't know what to do. You know, I had no idea, like, what career should I pursue? What am I good at? I had a lot of sort of inner criticism that needed to be looked at and addressed. And I had this dream where I was driving a car. I was driving a red City Golf, which is the car that I actually had at the time when I was a student. And I was in my car and I was on this open road and I was really happy in the car. And I was listening to music and there was no one on the road with me. And I was just kind of driving and I was quite free. And I looked in the rearview mirror and I saw this Jaguar sitting in the back seat, but it was strapped into, it had its seatbelt on. And in the dream, I was totally sort of unconscious. I wasn't lucid. It was just a dream that was happening sort of at me. And I saw this Jaguar and I freaked out. I couldn't believe it. I was so afraid. And I was like, what should I do? Should I pull over the car? Should I jump out the car? What do I do here? Like, what am I going to do? And it just sat really quietly and very like quite serenely, actually, and just looked at me. And I got such a fright that I woke up and I was really in a stage in my life where I completely didn't own any of my power. I didn't accept any of like my spiritual gifts. I didn't accept my intuition. I didn't accept the fact that I could go out there and create and do things. So I was really like kind of self-victimizing myself at the time. And that dream really shook me. But in true form, I woke up, had that dream, did sweet absolutely nothing with it. And at the time, I was unemployed. I was literally kind of like bumming around. And I went to a this like shopping center that had all these little boutique shops, and one of them was a secondhand bookstore. And this woman who worked there, she was on the telephone, and she kind of had like the phone on her ear while she was carrying a whole lot of books like in between her shoulders. And she came up to me and she just said, like, look at these books. And she gave me a stack of books, and on top of that stack was a book called Jaguar Woman, by an author who's she passed away a couple years ago. But literally, it's a shamanic story about a woman in Beverly Hills back in the like 80s, or you know, where she literally has this experience of seeing a marriage basket, a Native American marriage basket in a gallery, and she tries to go and buy that painting, and then later realizes that the image she saw wasn't really there. She saw it, but it wasn't there. And she goes on this spiritual journey to like reclaim her spiritual knowing, I guess I would explain it. So I bought the book and I read the book, and it really helped me to wake up. You know, I enrolled for a psychology program. Enrolled to study with a shaman at the same time. And it really just, that dream helped me kind of kick into gear and not be so afraid. But I mean, I didn't pay attention to that dream. I often think about my guides back then, like I made them work.
I know what that's like.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Athena, thank you so much for sharing. Before we close out, because I know we're running short on time, I just have one more quick little question. I hope it's quick. I have noticed in my dreams, like, because I remember so many of my dreams, like when I'm awake in the physical, I experience a lot of deja vu. And I am just curious if that is common for people who can remember dreams, and if they're in the conscious awake and you're in a situation, and like sometimes I'll just get this sinking feeling like timelines are merging, or I have lived this experience before, and deja vu happens all the time. And I was just wondering if there was any correlation or what your thoughts are.
I definitely think there is a correlation. There's a great word called déjà rêvé, and it means already dreamt, whereas déjà vu is already lived. And when I read about that distinction, it was so like mind-boggling for me, because I really think we often actually have dreams of the future, and we retain the memory of it, right? So you're standing, say, in your kitchen, and then you're like, oh, wait, I'm having that sense of deja vu,
that's
sense of like,
exactly what happens. That's exactly, you know, what happens. Verbatim.
Right? So, and I think what I feel about it is that I think that the more we become conscious as a species, I guess, the more we'll see that those kind of experiences are actually more normal than we think. And I don't know if you guys have ever watched a movie called The Arrival.
Have not. Not yet. I'm going to.
I think you'll like it. I think you'll both enjoy it, actually. It's definitely a movie you should watch when you're kind of in the mood for something like that. But the basic concept is that aliens land, they arrive at all places on the planet, like 8 ships. And it isn't an alien movie, so I'm not saying like, well, it is, but it isn't about that. And in essence, there's a linguist who has to go onto one of the ships because she gets the job of having to figure out like what they're trying to communicate back and forth. And it is such a good movie in that it kind of comes, it has a lot to do with like precognitive dreams and also time. And I won't say more about it because I hate it when people ruin movies, but it is so worth worth the watch. You know, I think the more I do this work, the more I have experiences, the more I hear other people's experiences, I just feel like I'm learning more and more, like, oh wait, we have no idea. You know, we are so kind of new to this, not new to consciousness, but we are all learning, you know. And I think things are much more malleable than we think they are.
Absolutely. And I just want to say thank you so much for coming on our podcast and sharing your experiences and answering our questions. I was really excited because I don't, like I said, I dream a lot. It's my creative space and I don't really have a lot of people to kind of talk to about it. And so I was just so excited to have you on our podcast. I think that our listeners are very intrigued by dreams and they're going to learn so much in this episode. I love your knowledge and I am also going to get your book. And I'm so thankful that you came on.
Thank you to both of you. It was so nice to connect with both of you. And thank you for having me on your show.
Yes. And Athena, can you share for anyone who might be interested in knowing a little bit more about some of the work that you do or some of your programs and services where they can go?
Sure. Thanks for asking. The best place to start off with is on my website. It's www.athenalaz.com. And then the book is a really good resource. And I also have a dream journal. It's called the Deliberate Dreamers Journal. And so on the website, there's also free meditations that I offer. So for anyone who just wants to sign up and get meditations, that's a good place to start. And then if people are really interested in being part of a community of dreamers, I run a 9-month program called the Dream Weave. And we dream as a group. We do practices as a group. It's a very safe and supportive space where all types of dreaming, it's accepted and celebrated. So we look at symbolic dreams. I teach people how to lucid dream. And the group will often have kind of shared experiences where they tend to almost have like group consciousness. So like one of my dream weaves, the 1 year, we almost every single person sadly had lost someone kind of unexpectedly, and they all signed up. And so it ended up being this amazingly
interesting.
It was so interesting. It was so beautiful to be part of, and it was so amazing to see everybody's journeys from like month 1 to month 9. And just the support that like everybody gives to one another. So that's the kind of container that I try and create. And then next year, for anyone who's interested, I have an oracle deck coming out with Hay House, and it's all about seership, and a new book that will come out in September. But I'm sure we'll probably reach out to you before then and send you copies. So
thank Yay. You. That's amazing. And thank you for everything that you do and the Dream Weave and the program and having a space for people to connect. I mean, I need to join that because, like I said, it's just, there's not very many people that can relate, only because most people I talk to are like, yeah, once I'm asleep, I'm dead. It's like I'm a dead body for the night, and I wake up and it's black, and I wake up and I'm just like, did I even get sleep?
Are you working in your dreams? Oh my gosh. That's so funny. Well, we'd love to have you. I'll send you guys the links. And have you in the community if you want to join.
Thank you. And then for those who are listening, I'll make sure that all of Athena's information is in the show notes. So access to the book and to her website will be there for you guys. So again, Athena, thank you so, so much. And I hope to be in touch because it sounds like we're going to be following your journey here. And Allie might be joining your group. So yes. So thanks again for taking the time to chat with us today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yes, everyone have a great week and we will catch you next time.
All right, take care, you guys.
Bye.
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 Don't.